Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies for...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. We're also heard on the Rapture Ready Radio Network, which is the network of our sister Jackie Alnor. And they have a different radio program, a different host that you can listen to every day over there. So if you need some good news, you can go over there instead of fake news. Propaganda. Did you ever think that in your lifetime, and some of us, we've been around longer than others, and we can see how things are rapidly changing in the world. We're really seeing the great divide, aren't we? Especially what's going on in the political realm. But I just want to mention now, just because someone claims to be a conservative, or that doesn't mean that that person, if they're going to go to the Supreme Court, that there's going to be any change in the Roe v. Wade thing that's been a horror ever since they legalized abortion. But this whole thing that's going on now, which what you see is the people on the left think that because if Kavanaugh gets in, that's going to be the end to abortion. Well, not necessarily, because Kavanaugh is a Catholic. And let me name you a few of the Catholics that are currently on the Supreme Court. Chief Justice John Roberts, Samuel Alito, Clarence Thomas, and Sonia Sotomayor are practicing Catholics. And the retiring Justice, Justice Kennedy, was also a Catholic. Neil Gorsuch was raised Catholic, but reportedly they say he attends an Episcopal church. The rest, the three other justices, are Jewish. So the Catholics there, the so-called conservatives on the court, nothing happened with Roe. They didn't change anything. The only way that there would be a possibility maybe of getting this horrible law struck down would be to have a real born again filled with the Holy Ghost Christian, which, that talk about an uproar, talk about an upheaval. You know, if that would ever happen, then you would really see some fireworks. But anyway, we don't have anybody on the court that is a Bible-believing Christian. So that's the big thing that's going on now, really, is it's this battle. And the whole thing revolves around abortion. And so I don't really like what's going on. I don't I don't like it. We'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting to see how all this plays out in the days ahead. But I think it's such a parallel as to what's going on with the church, because we're going to have, and my guests, Ron Roby and I today, we're going to talk about Larry Huck. And Larry Huck is a pastor in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. He's a false teacher, a terrible false teacher, terrible. And yet he goes to the White House. He just had Paula White and her husband at his some kind of a new man conference or something like that. But we're going to see this, and we're starting to see it more and more, the great divide in the church, as we're seeing in the government. And the forces of evil that are in the so-called church, these people that they can't live by faith, they wouldn't know Jesus. If Jesus walked up to them and said, "Hi, how you doing?" they wouldn't know who he was. They like to take the Bible and they like to twist scripture. And the most ridiculous teachings you ever heard in your life, you're going to hear today, come from this man, Larry Huck. I call him Larry Huckster. And it's terrible, terrible. But we're going to see more and more of these people come to prominence. Like, whoever thought in your wildest dreams, like somebody like Paula White, a heretic, if there ever was one, another scam artist that uses scripture to deceive people. Who would ever think that there she is with advising a president of the United States? Oh, what days we live in. What days we live in. It's a strange day, and we're going to have to be prepared for just about anything, because you just never know. Sometimes you know who your enemies are, but sometimes you don't know who your enemies are. And we have to be so aware, because do you think that these people like these programs that we do? No, they don't like it. But the thing is, we're going to only repeat and play for you their words from their audios. So we're not making any of this up. If they want to get mad, let them get mad at themselves. That's what I have to say. Anyway, I'm going to bring on my guest here, Ron. Hi, Ron.
Hello, Susan. I've been having some problems with my computer.
Uh-oh.
Can you hear me?
Well, I can hear you. Yeah, a little bit. You're coming in a little soft. And you're echoing.
Let me see if I can turn my sound up a little bit on my microphone.
But anyway, while Ron's getting ready.
Okay.
If you can't. How's that? I don't hear myself echoing. I hear it, but I hear myself echoing.
I think the echo is coming from my computer.
You might want to call in on the phone. We'll give him a minute.
I'm having trouble here. I've tried to turn my sound down to where it's just picking up the myself, but for some reason or another, I can't get the computer to shut off my sound, so there's no echo.
Yeah. Well, maybe you could call in. Do you have the phone number?
Yeah, let me hang up here, and I'll call from my magic jack.
Yeah. That would be fine. Okay, let me read a few scriptures to you. Because we're going to be talking today about false prophets and false teachers. 1 John 4:1-6 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Yes. Is that the truth? Many, many, many false prophets. Just turn on television. Just turn on the television that what they call Christian. Ugh, it's nauseating. It's like that's the type of Christianity that's being portrayed to a lost and dying world. That's pretty sad. We're in a sad day, let me tell you. Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Yeah, they'll bite your head off if they could, especially when it comes to money, because the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And, you know, people kill over money. You see these television shows, Forensic Files, and some of those shows where, oh, they kill somebody. There was one guy on the program, and he got found out for killing somebody. So when they were interviewing him, the police, they said, why did you kill that person? He said, well, I needed some meth, and these people I knew, they said that they would give me a couple hits of meth. That's how desperate he was for drugs. He says, yeah, they gave me a couple hits of meth, so I killed the person. I'm telling you. What a world we live in. So we better be ready, and we better know the word of God so we can stand in the day. You better know God. You see what's happening in the political realm? Oh, it's going to be a lot worse for us, a lot worse for us Bible-believing Christians, a lot worse when they come after us. But let me see about bringing Ron back on. Let's see how his sound comes on now. Okay, Ron, how's it going?
Doing good. Is this any better?
Yeah, you sound a little soft. I don't know if you can.
I can put my mouth up closer to the mic. Any better?
That's a little bit better.
Yeah, I have it all the way up next to my lips right now.
Okay. Anyway, who's ever in the chat room, let me know how it sounds. If you hear Ron, and when we're talking, let me know if you can hear him. So I'll keep my eye on the chat room and let me know how he comes across, okay? So we might have to do some adjustments. But anyway, so Ron, now, what did you think of those audios that I sent you of Larry Huckster?
Well, you sent me 5, and then you sent me 2 more, plus you sent me a video that was actually one of the audios, but with video on it. And all of them just, the man clearly don't know how to rightly divide the word of truth. I mean, I was flabbergasted when I listened to him.
Yeah, you wonder why I was watching this video of him this morning at his church. He calls it a church. I call it a policing center. And the people, the poor lost sheep over there, oh, they were hanging on his every word. And then he likes to throw out these Jewish phrases, you know, like
right.
He's so intelligent and he doesn't know what he's talking about. He knows enough, though, to extract money out of your wallet. He knows about that. He knows about that pretty good. But oh, the people were hanging on every word and they were applauding. He would tell a lie, just an outright lie about Jesus, and they would applaud. Oh, you know, he was telling them something about the window is going to be open and you better get in on this window because you might miss God. I didn't know that.
Right.
Yeah,
he was saying that the appointed time mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 16 was speaking of the windows of heaven. And, I mean, to me, that's foolish, totally foolish, because it doesn't even say that that's the windows of heaven. It's the windows, the appointed time is the time when they were to give those particular offerings. Now, one, I know that I'm sure you'll be playing the video for it or the audio for it for the listeners, but one that got me was when he was talking about the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And he was talking about the three feasts, and he mentioned the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And he's talking about we need to bring our first fruits. We need to not go before God open-handed on these feast days. Well,
yeah,
you know,
empty-handed.
And he steered completely away from
the actual verses that actually describe how the feasts were supposed to be observed. He wants people to observe them by bringing money to the church. But according to the scripture, it wasn't money that was brought. Like, for instance, in Leviticus chapter 23, where we learn of the three feasts and how they were supposed to be observed. And the Feast of Passover was first. That was on the 14th day of the first month of the year. After the Feast of Passover, the very next day, on the 15th of the month, was the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. That lasted for 7 days. And the first day and the last day of those 7 days, there was supposed to be a meeting. They called it a holy convocation. And basically, it was a time of worship before God. But now here's the thing, that and we can do that. We can worship God on the first day of the month or 15th day of the month or whatever. And then again on the 21st of the month, which would be the seventh day. However, the problem is he's trying to apply it to his own rules, and he's leaving God out of the picture altogether. God said that on the first day and the seventh day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that burnt sacrifices were supposed to be made. There were supposed to be seven lambs that were to be killed and sacrificed on the altar. Also, a bullock was supposed to be offered. And I guarantee he's not telling his church members that they have to sacrifice lambs or or bullocks. What he wants sacrificed is their wallets.
Whenever I hear him say, "Don't come before God empty-handed," I say, "Yeah, and don't come before God empty-headed either." Like,
exactly.
Please, here's your brain. Don't leave your brain at the door. Yeah,
right.
It's not. God doesn't play the lottery. We don't play bingo with God. It's just so stupid. I can't even believe it's still going on.
Yeah. So it's a shame, because a lot of people are duped because they don't read their Bibles, and that's the whole problem. The Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, these people aren't even told by him that they need to study the word.
Yeah. Well, why would he tell them that? They might figure out. They might figure out they're being conned.
Exactly. Well, it's my prayer that one of his one or more of his congregation will be searching the internet one day and run across this show in the archives, or other pastors or preachers that are actually preaching the truth about what the Feast of Trumpets and Feast of Tabernacles and Feast of Passover and other feasts are.
Yeah. Yeah, you would hope so. It's a big scam. But I don't know who started it exactly. I don't remember who the first person I ever heard teach these teachings. I know I heard it years ago from Paula White and Randy White. They used to ask the people in their church to give them 1 month's salary in the month of January. Can you imagine asking a family to give you 1 month of their salary? Oh, the dopey people were doing it.
That particular teaching is rampant through Africa. The pastors over there tell the congregations that they're supposed to give them first fruits of the first month of their of the year. And, you know, the sad thing about that is, in Africa, they only get paid 12 times a year. They get a monthly check. So that means the first month of January, January's check goes directly to the church if the people listen to their pastors, and they have to do without.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's cruel, really. I don't know how these people sleep at night. If they had any kind of a conscience, which apparently their consciences have been seared, because.
Exactly.
How could you stand up there in a pulpit and look across a congregation of people? And you know, most of the people are hurting. They have needs. Tremendous needs, and they're coming to church for some comfort. They're coming for fellowship, and they want love. Everybody wants to be loved. But what happens? They go over there and they're being fleeced. They're being conned, and it's a real tragedy. what's going on. And so we hope and we pray that our program and some of God's people can help to educate people to what the truth is, because our favorite scripture here at Prophetic Muse is, "For God so loved the world that he gave."
Amen.
And that's supposed to be our attitude, because the Bible says to love your neighbor as yourself. And like the Apostle Paul said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So that should be our attitude. We shouldn't be beat over the head by some pastor or evangelist or whatever to get us to give money to get money. That's not even Christian.
No, it's
That has nothing to do with the gospel. Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah. But that's what's being taught, and that's how people are being educated. And for parents out there, if you raised a spoiled child, you know how hard it is to deal with that person. So imagine, we have churches, thousands, millions of people, spoiled children being taught to give to get. And it's messed up the body of Christ. It has messed them up to no end. So anyway, I'm going to play one of these audios here so you can hear Larry Huckster for yourself, and then we'll talk about it.
Is take you to the Jewish roots of the Bible, because it's not the truth that sets you free.
Yeah.
It's the truth you understand. And
yeah.
When you begin to reread the Bible through the eyes of a Jewish Jesus, yeah. it opens up the whole world.
Yeah.
Listen to what God says in Proverbs chapter 11, 18. He who sows righteousness. Now remember, righteous is, in Hebrew, acts of kindness, acts of charity, good
yes.
deeds.
Yes.
He who sows righteousness gets a sure reward.
Mm.
Now, you say, well, that's yes. Old Testament. All right, let me give you New Testament. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. But seek ye first
yes.
the kingdom of God
right.
and
his righteousness.
Yeah. Look for a chance
yeah.
to
yeah.
do acts of righteousness.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but listen to this. It's so powerful. There are 613 commandments in the Bible.
Yeah.
Of those 613 commandments, Tiz, in Judaism, the number one commandment, we think the number one commandment is love God with all your heart.
Right,
Jesus
right.
said, that's the number one commandment. That this one is equal to that one, love your neighbor as your
wow.
fellow man as yourself. These
yeah.
two are equal. Actually, rabbinical teaching, God says, and we would never do this, but God says, if you have to choose between loving me
mm-hmm.
and tikkun olam, making the world a better place, doing acts of kindness,
yeah.
do that.
Wow.
Because when you wow. when you love people, you'll
yeah.
end up loving me.
Right.
Because
right.
you can't say, I love God and do evil to
right.
people.
Right.
It's synonymous. And so when he says you sow acts of kindness,
mm-hmm.
you're going to reap a sure reward.
Wow.
And I wrote this down just as we were taking a break. Every seed produces after its own kind. When you
yeah.
give
yeah.
right now, you know, right now, why does God say three times a year
mm-hmm.
you come before the Lord
right.
and you don't come empty-handed?
Yeah.
Because when we sow a seed, and right now we're into the most important of the three times a year.
Yeah, yeah.
The window of heaven is open right now. It's open right now.
Right.
To pour us out such a blessing.
Amen.
Exceedingly abundantly
yeah.
above anything we can ask or think.
Yeah, yeah.
And 'tis, we've always taught that in the area of finances.
Yeah.
You need a job. You need a financial breakthrough.
Right.
But during this time, actually, you're seeing this months down the line with Lion's chemo treatment. But this happened during Passover.
Right.
And from the hospital, tell them what happened.
So from the hospital, Luke and Jen, the first couple of days they were actually living there at the hospital. And so they were watching on stream the program. And I get a text from them in my seat. And it's them saying, we just sowed our first fruit offering. Didn't want to miss that opportunity to sow seed for our miracle for Lions.
Amen. And you know, this is the scripture when it says, raise your children up in the ways they should go.
Yeah.
Guys, I know you see a lot of things that are gimmicks on raising funds. This is, we never teach a gimmick, especially in the area of giving God praise for our grandbaby being miraculously healed of cancer.
Yes.
But one of the greatest things we can teach you is when you save someone else's life, God sees it as if you saved the whole world.
Amen.
And by us giving to Aliyah, giving the first fruits, or giving the Passover, whatever we give to, to bless Israel, or for the orphanages, or the 50,000 meals a month to children in Africa, little did we know that we would need a reward of this kind, but every seed produces after its own kind.
Yes.
We have saved children's lives.
Yes.
Now we can say, God save our baby's
life.
Amen.
Amen. You know, what we cause to happen for others, God will cause to happen for us.
Absolutely.
And literally.
Now, we're going to tear this apart, Ron. I'm going to have you tear this apart in a minute. But I just wanted to mention first, the definition of righteousness. I never heard that definition before.
Well, I think he's taking that from his own dictionary. Works that we can do to make ourselves look good before God. But according to Isaiah, the Bible in Isaiah tells us that our righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord.
Yeah. That was a new meaning of the word righteousness. That was a new one on me. And he talks about 613 commandments in the Bible. Apparently, he never read that one that says that God hates liars. He never heard that one. And imagine the deceit of these people and the blindness of Larry Hook and his wife Tiz, that they're so deceived that they even taught their children. I don't know who it is, the son or the daughter that has the baby with cancer, their grandbaby, but that their children are so deceived that the baby has cancer and they're sowing their first fruits to get a miracle for the baby.
Right. In other words, they have to pay God in order to get a miracle. Now, you know, if you look through the scripture, the New Testament Gospels and the New Testament epistles, you won't find anything where it says that we have to pay God in order to get a miracle. The Apostle James in James chapter 4 told us, ye have not because ye ask not. He didn't say ye have not because you don't sow first fruits. Or you have not because you don't pay God.
Yeah.
James tells us to pray. So why should I pay when I can pray?
Yeah, amen. Amen. But that's the ultimate in deceit, is that your poor children, your parents are supposed to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you're going to church every Sunday, you're raised in this home. And look, my parents weren't even Bible-believing Christians when I grew up, and they never told us that we had to go to church and pay God off.
Exactly.
I never heard my parents say that. Of course, the religion we were raised in, we had to pay for everything, lighting candles and all that to try to get God to do things for us and crazy stuff. But the church at that time, the Catholic Church, when I was growing up in the 50s and 60s, when I was young, they never taught tithing, and they didn't really command people to give anything in the church we went to. They just gave what you wanted. But of course, they had all masses for the dead that you could pay for to get your relatives out of purgatory, and things you could pay for to get keep yourself out of trouble with God. So
right.
Those kind of things existed, but I never heard my mother tell me that, or my father tell me, now look, Susan, if you want something from God, you better give him some money.
Well, you know, there was what? Something that he said, there was something that Larry Huck said in that video that was actually true. You know, and he said it right at the very beginning. He said that the truth will not, the Bible does not say the truth will set you free. Now, the Bible actually doesn't say that. What the Bible actually says is the truth shall make you free. It doesn't say set you free. So he was correct in saying it doesn't say set you free, but he's taking it down another route altogether.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pitiful, because if you go on to, I listened a little further actually to that particular video, and their grandbaby has cancer, which it's horrible. It's horrible for a baby to have cancer. And yet they're sowing, they're giving, sowing first fruits, and the grandparents are nodding their head and they're rejoicing over the fact that, see, we taught them to do this, to give this money. And it's your own grandbaby.
Exactly. I mean, they should be totally disgusted at the thought that the parents of the child are paying to have a miracle. They think they're paying God for a miracle when, like I say, they should be able to just pray and ask for the miracle.
Yeah, but they go on. Now he claims though, in that audio that we heard, that the grandbaby was healed of cancer, but as the audio went on, he says that the grandbaby has to go through 2 years of chemotherapy. Well, that's not healed.
No, it sure isn't. I've got a niece right now that's going through chemotherapy. She just turned 4. She started her chemotherapy several months back. They discovered acute lymphoblastic leukemia in her little body, and so she has to go through all that, all the treatments and everything. Parents are strong. They believe the Lord's given the child the strength to go on and given them the strength, and so they're giving God the glory, but they're not trying to pray or to pay for a miracle.
No. There isn't enough money in the world. Howard Hughes had all the money in the world, and he died a ridiculous death and was in terrible shape. Elvis Presley had all the fame and fortune in the world. Look how he died in his bathroom. He fell over and his face was in the carpet. Many other wealthy people. Steve Jobs, who started Apple, he had all the money in the world, but he couldn't find a cure for his pancreatic cancer.
Nope.
So you can't. Either God's going to heal you. That's the only way most people ever get well, is if they get a miracle from God, because medicine can only do so much.
Right.
And so if you don't know God, that must be terrible, to have to go through some kind of a terrible illness and you don't have that rock to hold on to. But then for some preacher to tell you to give first fruits offering to get a miracle, that is cruel.
It is. It is. And these pastors are going to have to answer to God one day for it.
Yes, they will. Let's listen to another clip.
And then all of a sudden, he takes a break in here, and he starts speaking to Gentiles. Look at Deuteronomy 26. And it shall be, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land, that the Lord your God is giving you and put it in a basket and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. Now, let me show you something that I was shown years and years ago by some great rabbinical scholars. God says here in Deuteronomy 26, when you come into the land which the Lord God has given you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, then you shall take some of the first of the produce of the ground which you shall bring from your land. Israel went in the promised land from where? Desert. They grew nothing in the desert. They had no produce. They had no land. So when God says here to a people, when you come into a land which I am giving you as an inheritance, because we have been grafted in, when you come into the land, bring with you some first fruits. When Israel came into the land of Israel, when the Jews came in the land of Israel, they had no first fruits. They had to conquer the land. They had to plow the land. They had to sow the land. They had to water the land. They had to pluck the land. So what God is saying here is, ancient Jewish wisdom says, there'll come a time right before the coming of the Messiah that the eyes of the Gentiles will be open, and they'll go, you know what? We haven't replaced the land. We have been grafted into the land. And God says, as soon as you realize that, bring with you your first fruit. Now watch this. It gets even better. Verse 2, and you shall take some of the first of the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and put it in a basket, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. She said, go to the place, the tabernacle. Wouldn't you go to the tabernacle? But there is no tabernacle right now. And so this is an end time prophecy that God is saying to the Gentiles, I will open the eyes of some of the Gentiles, and so when I do, you bring, because return unto me and I'll return to you. How do we return? In your tithes and your offerings. Jesus said, I'll give you 30, 60, 100 fold. 30, 60, 100 fold. That was not a Catholic Jesus. That was not a Baptist Jesus. That was not a Palestinian Jesus. That was a Jewish Jesus. And why did he say 30, 60, 100 fold? Because three times a year you come before the Lord and you don't come empty handed. And when you do, 30%, 60 fold, and 100 fold, the Feast of Tabernacles, unlimited blessing.
What do you make of that, Ron?
That man definitely was all over the board with false doctrine. I mean, he was, and that's what we preachers clearly call eisegesis. It's reading his own ideas and interpretations into the Word of God rather than allowing the Word of God to speak for itself. I mean, it's so much in there that it's mind-boggling, because he goes into Deuteronomy and he talks about the first fruits, and yeah, the Bible does speak of first fruits, but well, for one thing, it's speaking of the children of Israel. It's not speaking of the Gentile church. Nowhere in there does it say the Gentiles will have to pay first fruits.
Yeah.
You know, and so he's batting 1,000 for the other team right now. I mean, and not even for God. I mean, it's really ridiculous when you get into and look at what he's actually saying. He turns around and uses Malachi chapter 3, verses 7 and 8 and through 10, 7 through 10, and tries to say that that the first fruits is tied into Malachi. when actually it isn't. Malachi was speaking of, and we're not going to, I know you don't want this getting into a tithe thing, but actually Malachi was speaking of priests that had robbed the temple. And God was telling the priest to God was telling the priest to bring back what they had stolen. Return unto me. You know, so but getting back into the first fruits thing there, he goes on to say that that he brings in Jesus thing of Jesus said they'll bring in 30, 60, and 100 fold. Well, that had absolutely nothing to do with first fruits at all. It didn't even have anything to do with tithes. Jesus explains what he's talking about in Matthew chapter 13, the 30, 60, and 100 fold. It's speaking of the word of God being sowed and the increase that's being given because the people are allowing this word of God to go into their hearts.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's amazing.
He's taking the scripture all out of context and trying to rewrite the Bible, so to speak. I mean, because these people aren't reading the Bible themselves, they're easily fooled.
Yeah, I notice he uses those Jewish words, and he pronounces them with a. That's I think it kind of to me that's manipulation. It's kind of like a hypnotic thing. All
right.
of a sudden, he tries to pretend like he's so intelligent, and then he says. He has consulted Jewish, I think, was it, did he say historians or?
Rabbinical writings, I think he said.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Oh, yeah. They didn't tell him that.
Yeah. But, yeah, he even said that we the Gentiles, were grafted into Israel, and we weren't. The scripture clearly tells us that we are grafted into Christ. We're not grafted into Israel. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 tell us that God has brought into him, or Jesus Christ has brought into himself one new man, not into Israel, but he brought both Jew and Greek into one new man, and that man being Christ Jesus.
Well, I know myself, a few, 10 or 15 years ago anyway, when I was trying to understand even more myself about tithing and the tithe teachings that I had heard for so many years since I was saved in 1981 and practiced tithing until 1997. But in my own research, I said, well, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to call up a couple of Jewish temples and I'm going to talk to some of the rabbis myself. Let me ask these rabbis, what they teach about tithing, because I hear these so-called evangelical pastors, they're always talking like they know Jewish customs and they know all about the Old Testament and whatever. So I said, let me actually call a Jewish temple, not a Messianic temple, but a real Jewish temple, and talk to the rabbi. So I call, I said to him, do you teach tithing? No. He said, no, we don't teach tithing. No. No. So we teach charity, but no, we don't teach tithing. I'm like,
right.
It was an eye-opener, you know?
They rent their pews rather than tithe. And, you know, for the longest time, the State Church of England, which, of course, was Catholic, Anglican, but Anglican is a Catholic light, but at any rate, they used the pew rents as well. Many of the Baptists in early history had pew rents, and Methodists and many of the denominations instead of tithing. Tithing was actually not introduced into the Protestant churches until the 1870s.
Yeah. I always wondered about when it actually started to be taught. Well,
but
it's a great fundraiser. It's a great fundraiser.
Oh, yeah. The Jewish temple or Jewish synagogues, they do a what they call a membership. And pew, basically a pew rent or a pew membership. You paid for a spot in the church where you could take your family and sit. But you were not allowed to give that your place up for to another person, and say if you had an aunt or something like that came in town and you wanted her to go visit your temple, you couldn't give her your pass and allow her to go sit in your seat. They had to pay a separate price. They had to pay a separate price if they were going to get in.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
So it's crazy.
Yeah, they were paying to see a show. That's for sure. That's what you're looking at now when you watch some of these people on television.
Yeah,
they're paying
to
look at a show. They have the lights and the smoke and the singers and the dancers, and then they have some preacher come up there and he you know, whips up the crowd, and that's a good way to put
smoke
it. You've got to pay for your seat. Anyway, let's listen to another one of these huckster audios.
Let me read to you real quick, just in case anybody's watching or somebody's here that doesn't understand what we're talking about when we say three times a year we come before the Lord. In Deuteronomy 16:16, the scripture says, three times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place that he chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, which is Pentecost, Shavuot, and the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Now, the reason why this is so important that you and I understand is that it is the hidden key to the windows of heaven being opened up over us. It is the key, without a shadow of a doubt, that the church hasn't mostly learned, because we haven't been taught to study the scriptures through the Hebrew eyes. We've been taught to study them through the Gentile eyes. But during the Feast of Passover, which was last week, during the Feast of Passover, there are three blessings that God says he'll release: favor with God, favor with man, and divine protection. Now, all of us have heard testimonies already of that miracle divine protection. Two people, one person had a heart attack, another person had a heart attack, God saved them, another person, a mother 2 years of this disease, they sowed the seed, God showed them, somebody sent them, have you thought about this, showed them, the doctor said, we didn't even think of this, and I mean miracles. But I want Tiz to come up. We were filming, we did something different this month. We filmed our television program at our house, and so we had all the camera people and everything at our house, and we were fellowshipping. We were teaching one month program we did about Pentecost that's coming up in a few weeks. The other was about breaking the curse of anger, and we were all having some pizza afterwards, and the cameraman and Tiz got this text. Now, we just met him for the first time, but got this text from the same person at the same time while we were sitting there. And so I want Tiz to read what that text was.
So this is a family that just came into our church maybe about a year ago or so, and he just sent this text to me. He said, I have an incredible testimony about the Passover first fruits offering. I had purposed in my heart what my offering for first fruits would be. I could not give it yesterday because I had not gotten my first check on my new job yet. Today, after only 2 weeks as supervisor in my new job, I was called into the office and I was given a substantial raise, and I will get, amen, two bonuses a year that is extremely generous in this company. On top of that, I am now the assistant manager. He said it took other managers 2 years to work their way up, but it took me only 2 weeks. Amen. I have been experiencing the unprecedented favor of God this year. I don't know if you remember, but when we first came into the church, you and Pastor prayed for me and my family because we were on welfare and living in poverty at that time.
Yes.
Now look at what the Lord has done, and they know it's from the first fruit offering.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, dear.
Now, you know something there? I don't know if the listeners actually paid close attention to what they said, but they said that the email or the text that was sent was sent both to her and to the cameraman. Well, you know, why would he send it to the cameraman? You know,
yeah.
I mean, They would have to have the cameraman's email address or text phone number in order to do that. And normally,
yeah.
when calls go into a television station or something, it doesn't go to the cameraman. It goes to somebody out at reception.
Yeah.
But at any rate, also notice that what they said was they hadn't even paid their first fruit offering. At the very beginning of what the text was being read, said that they hadn't got in to pay their offering because they hadn't got the check yet. And the very next day, they get all this great information, and God bless them for giving their first fruit offering, but they hadn't given it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, they're on welfare.
I think the hucksters actually made that one up.
Oh, yeah, well, you have to stay up late at night. You have to have some kind of a creative mind, you know, to think these things up.
Oh, yeah.
It takes some creativity, that's for sure. Oh, help us, God, please. You know, it's like, they think God is up there in heaven, and he's looking down at those people that sent the text. He's looking down on them, and God sees that they brought their first fruits to Larry and Tiz, and because they did that, God sees, so he tells the boss over there on their job to give them a promotion.
Right, but the thing is they didn't even bring it to Larry and Tiz because they said that they hadn't been able to because they hadn't received the check yet. You know, so I mean, and it's crazy because you really think about it, they're just saying that God blessed them for bringing their first fruits and when they didn't actually bring them yet. But here's the thing, also According to Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 through 4, the first fruit offering was nothing but a small armful or a small basketful of fruit from the ground. Wasn't a man's wages. So basically what they're doing is they're saying that God rewards you for changing his word and for giving him something, for twisting his word to say what it doesn't.
Yeah.
Now, one thing we have to realize now, they might have given something to the church at some time or another, to Larry's church, because they're deceived. But just because that they might have received something, some kind of bonus at work or whatever, if it's actually true, just because they received something at work does not necessarily mean that God gave it to them. We need to keep in mind Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4. Everybody knows the story of the temptation in the wilderness. According to the temptation in the wilderness, Satan, the god of this world, offered Jesus many riches if he would and possessions if he would just bow down to Satan.
Yeah.
See, that's what's happening today. So many people are bowing down to lies. They're bowing down to the enemies of God, and they're getting rewards once in a while. But I'm very suspect of them being from God.
No. That's the thing. See, I remember my own life when I was in the Word of Faith and, I had to pay my tithes and make my vows and sell my seeds and everything. But boy, I got myself into so much trouble.
Oh, yeah.
You might get a blessing here and there, but most of the time, no, you don't get blessed because God's not in it. And,
exactly.
But they keep telling you that, just hold on, because, okay, so after 15 years, I'm saying to myself, well, where is it then, you know? How long is it going to take? But they just keep telling you that, just hold on, it's coming. But
Yeah, blessing's just around the corner.
Yeah, but it doesn't come. Those kind of things, like job promotions and those kind of things, they come naturally. It would have happened anyway.
Right. If the person is good at their work, they're going to impress the boss, and the boss is going to give them a promotion, whether they're saved or unsaved, or whether they're
going
to church or not going to church.
That's right.
Or
that's
whether they're giving money to God or not giving money to God.
That's how it works. If you're
yep.
faithful in little things, you'll be ruler over much. in some of the churches that I attended, there would be somebody that was janitor. Oh,
right.
And the janitor, you would say, well, that's the janitor. And then the person would be faithful, faithful, faithful. You come back 2 years later, the person's the pastor all of a sudden. He's running the church. So,
right.
You know, it's God that promotes you through faithfulness, and God sees your heart. So, it's ridiculous. But anyway, let's listen to another of these huckster audios.
And then all of a sudden, he takes a break in here, and he starts speaking the Gentiles. Look at Deuteronomy 26. And it shall be when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and put it in a basket, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. Now, let me show you something that I was shown years and years ago by some great rabbinical scholars.
I think
God says here in Deuteronomy 26, when you come into the land which the Lord God has given you as an inheritance, and you...
I think we heard that one already, but... Larry Huckster.
Yeah.
Let me play this one, because this says it all, really. Wait till you hear this one, people. This really tells you where Larry Huck is, and he's talking here with Paula White. This is quite a few years ago, but anyway, here it is.
First day when they told us that report, I mean, we were shell-shocked, all of us. But what happened is that word of God, those promises, every act, every deed that we ever do.
Jesus is not the only begotten Son of God. He is not. I'm a son of God.
He's the first fruit.
You're this. He's the first fruit. He's the firstborn of many. Jesus is not the only begotten Son of God. He is not. I'm a son of poverty until I learned the third place that Jesus shed his blood to break the curse of poverty.
And I want to hit that because poverty is
a curse. Absolutely.
You know, and people have to understand. This so much more.
The same thing with prosperity. The word redeem means to be brought back. In the Garden of Eden, there was no poverty, there was no hunger, there was no need of food stamps, there was no debt. It was a land that flowed with milk and honey. God wants his children living voluptuously. I got no problem with a basketball player driving a Rolls Royce. I got no problem with a baseball player flying in an airplane.
We expect that.
We expect that. Why can't a child that God has? Those thorns are a symbol of debt in Hebrew, of debt, poverty, and lack.
Come on,
and
teach.
So here they come with Jesus.
Teach.
They see the symbol of debt, poverty, and lack. In mocking Jesus, they build a crown out of these thorn bushes. They take that crown and press it into the brow of Jesus. Now, God said to Adam, by the sweat of your brow, no matter how hard you work, no matter how hard you sweat, you're never going to get ahead because I'm not Jehovah Jireh anymore. But here comes Jesus, and they take that curse of poverty and lack, press it into the brow of Jesus. We're cursed by the sweat of Adam's brow. Those thorns pierced the brow of our Savior, and the curse of poverty has been broken, and we're reconnected to Jehovah, our Jireh.
Yeah, you're going to be cursed with poverty if you don't work. Yeah.
Yeah. This guy, he's way off the wall on a lot of stuff there. I mean, you know, he says that Jesus Christ was not the only begotten Son of God, yet John 3:16, the verse that you actually use as a standard verse for the program, says that Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son of God. He said that Jesus was the firstborn of many, first of many born. And, you know, the fact is the Bible clearly tells us that Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. It didn't say among many born.
Yeah.
And so Larry Huckster is good at twisting the word of God to say what it actually doesn't say. Jesus Christ is the only begotten of the Father. In other words, he's the only one who the Father is truly the Father of.
Yeah.
Now, we are God's children, not through a divine birth as far as the overshadowing of the Spirit and someone conceiving and the child being born, but we are divine. We are born into the kingdom of God through our faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that we have become sons, adopted into the family. We've been adopted as sons, not that we actually were biological sons of God.
Yes.
So he's wrong with that. He's wrong with that. And then when he said that God told Adam, "I'm no longer Jehovah Jireh," well, I never read that in my Bible, but just to make sure, I looked in my book, in the book of Genesis, where God was speaking to Adam, and I never saw those words there. As a matter of fact, when I was reading the story of God meeting Adam in the garden after Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, I find that God did provide for them, because God gave them coats of skin. So, you know, God was still their provider. God was just upset with them, and he had to discipline them by sending them out of the garden. God still kept in contact with them from time to time, I'm sure, because he even kept in contact with Cain and Abel up until Abel was killed. And then he actually was in contact with Abel, obviously, because he said that Abel's blood was crying from the ground. So God was constantly speaking with the first family, as I like to call it, in the garden and outside of the garden.
Yes, as any father would. As any father would.
Exactly.
Even if the children go astray, the father's still there. And
so
it wasn't a thing of him not
being Jehovah Jireh. Now, you know, that video he talks and says that Jehovah Jireh, Jesus did not become, God did not become Jehovah Jireh again until the thorns were placed on Christ's head. And, I mean, that's just totally ridiculous. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that God was Jehovah Jireh. And all through the Old Testament, and even in the New Testament, we see God providing for people, even before Christ went to the cross. So how Larry Huckster can say God was no longer man's Jehovah Jireh, it's beyond me.
That's a good one. That bears a little more investigation for sure. But
yeah,
let's hear Barry on tithing here.
Oh boy.
Every one of these first fruit offerings. Look at 9 verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, "Let the children of Israel keep the Passover at its appointed time. On the 14th day of this month at twilight, you shall keep it at its appointed time." Now, once again, the word in English, or in Hebrew, appointed in English, is moedim, which refers to the window. Picture a window over you that won't be there very long, except for those who respond. Those of us who respond. Every year, this window passes. Every year it passes. And if we don't respond, the blessing is gone for one whole year. We are so blessed that God has picked us, because in Judaism it says the Gentiles who see this at the very beginning didn't decide to see it. They were handpicked by God to be an example of the power and the favor and the blessing of God. Somebody say amen. Do you understand that? But you could be sitting here and still miss it. Or you could be sitting here, or you could be watching and not respond to it. That's your choice. But for me and my family, I'm ready to live under the open windows of heaven. The appointed time, the moedim, At these appointed times, God opens the window and he creates a window. The window, word window, in Hebrew means a funnel from God's ability, God's throne, to your need, to your life. According to the rites and ceremonies, you shall keep it. So Moses told the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at twilight in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. So the children of Israel did. Now there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man, so they could not keep the Passover on that day, and they came before Moses and Aaron that day. Now look at me one second. Let me explain to it. These were men appointed to take care of those who had passed away. And in Judaism, if you touch a dead body, then you can't come into the presence of God for X number of days. So they hadn't done anything wrong. They were doing what their job was, but because of doing what their job was, they missed the opportunity to bring their offering. Now watch this. Verse 7, and the men said to him, we became defiled by the dead body of a man. Why are we kept from presenting the offering of the Lord at its appointed time among the children of Israel? So they realized that this Passover, Pentecost, Sukkot, and this scripture in Judaism applies to all three. They realize we missed the time. We missed the Moedim. This is the time that God builds a Yeshod, a tunnel, a channel from his power to our need. We missed it. What do we do? This is how good our God is. Look what he says. Presenting the offering of the Lord at its Moedim, its appointed time, among the children of Israel. And Moses said to them, stand still, that I may hear what the Lord will command concerning you. So the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, if any one of you or your posterity is unclean because of a dead body, that's the question, or is far away on a journey, he may still keep the Lord's Passover on the 14th day of the second month at twilight. They may keep it, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. All right, let me explain what that means.
That's a good one, isn't it? The window, God's window, there's a funnel. Did you know that, Ron?
I wasn't aware of that. You know, I mean, it's amazing, you know, because I just looked at the Hebrew behind that word appointed times. It doesn't say anything or appointed season. Actually, it says in my King James. But when I look at the Hebrew for it, it says absolutely nothing of a window at all.
Yeah.
You know, and according to the Word of God, if you look up windows of heaven in the you take those three words and do an exact search for windows of heaven, you're only going to find it in a few select places in the Bible.
Yeah,
Since we're looking at the Old Testament, that's actually the only places you're going to find it is in the Old Testament. When you look at it in the Old Testament, you find it in three places. You find it in the book of Genesis twice. Genesis 7, the Bible says that the windows of heaven opened and rain fell upon the earth. This was Noah's flood. And then in chapter 8 of Genesis, you see that the windows of heaven closed. And guess what? The rain stopped.
Yeah.
Then you go over into Malachi, which is the only other place that mentions the phrase the windows of heaven, and you find out that in Malachi, it's rain again. If they would return the stolen tithes and offerings that we give them, rain would fall from heaven and water the fields, and there would be an increase of crops or an abundance of crops that was so large that their barns would not be able to hold it. So obviously, God wasn't speaking of the same windows that Larry Huck is speaking of.
And the thing is, it's so ludicrous, too, because God is all-knowing, and he's sovereign. He's everywhere. And for him to say, to make such a ludicrous statement as there's a funnel, the windows open and then there's a funnel that comes from heaven. That is ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I mean, listening to the past clips that we've listened to, and then this one, you know, it's really no surprise that it wouldn't be ridiculous, you know, or that it would be ridiculous.
it's
par
like,
for the course.
What happens to God? What happens to the all-knowing, sovereign God? That where is He the rest of the time when the funnel isn't there?
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I mean, it's amazing because God, as I said a while ago, God's providing for Israel throughout the Old Testament. Yeah, there were times when He shut the windows of heaven and there was famine on the land, but it was because of Israel's stubbornness and Israel's disobedience that had to be done. If Israel would just turn from their wicked ways, as 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14 says, turn from their wicked ways and bow and seek God, God would turn around and heal the land, and he'd bring back a restoration.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's ridiculous to think that, you know, God's going to funnel down so many blessings on me if I disobey the feast and observe them my way and not God's.
Yeah.
You know, the proverb says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, and here, this is exactly a good point, a good picture of that. Larry is trying to observe the feast his way instead of God's way. God said they had to be done a certain way. And Larry's saying, no, God, I can't do it that way. I'm not a farmer, so I'm going to bring money. I'm not in Canaan, so I'm going to observe it in my town. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Well, you know, Satan tried to do the things that he liked too. I'm going to ascend above the throne of God. It didn't work too good for him.
No, it never works out in the end. Really, never works out in the end. Larry Hucks had some major problems. I think his church was in a foreclosure quite a while back. They had a lot of financial problems. I think it was him. I might be confusing him with Steve Muncy, but I think he had some problems there even at his church. So it might work for a while, but of course, it's like any multi-level marketing scheme. The person at the top of the pyramid is the one that really makes out. The people on the bottom don't. So it's a pyramid scheme, really. Is what it is.
And they try to say that God's at the top of the pyramid, but actually it's not God at the top of the pyramid. The top of the pyramid stops with them.
Exactly. It's them. And then they tell you, well, look, see, we're big givers. Oh, look, we feed 50,000 people. And look at all the things we're doing all over the world. Look at all our good works. And yet you can lie about Jesus. It doesn't matter. You can do all the good works you want, but you're going to stand up there and lie about Jesus and who Jesus is? That's not going to cut it with God.
No, it won't. And that's the thing, you know, they're going to stand before God, you know, and you can see them in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 through 23. You know, the Lord, we did many works in your name. We cast out devils. We healed the sick. We did this. We did that. But Jesus could say, depart from me. I never knew you.
Yeah,
they're serving another Jesus. They're serving a Jesus that allows them to twist the word of God.
Yeah, yeah, and they don't have any conscience about it because they portray themselves like, look how rich we are. We have big houses, we have fancy cars, we have nice clothes, we have nice jewelry. Look, we have everything we want. You know why we have everything we want is because we're givers. And if you sow seed and you mind the feast days, you can be just like us.
Exactly.
But you can't because you don't have 100 people or 1,000 people giving you 10% of their income. You're not going to be like them.
there's going to be a day when, if they don't repent, and I believe that it's not too far away. I'm looking for the rapture of the church anytime, but there's going to be a day that if they don't repent, God's going to remove the candlestick that's in their church.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it happened. You see, many of them have gone down, like Robert Tilton. He was a big huckster years ago, and his church in Dallas no longer exists. It was bulldozed, too, in the school that they built. Somebody told me there's a parking lot there. And even Jim Baker. Okay, he's rising up again, but God took everything away from him. And the place was a ghost town. You can see the ruins. You can look on YouTube and see the videos of what happened to PTL after God judged it. And even Randy White and Paula White, God judged their so-called ministry, and their two churches, in the Tampa and the Lakeland church, was bulldozed a few years ago. And they were in foreclosure and bankruptcy. And but that didn't stop them. They got right back up and they started scamming all over again. Same thing with Jim Baker. He spent 5 years in federal prison. Do you think that you would spend 5 years in a federal prison and you would come out and then you would go right back to being a huckster? I don't get it.
Well, that's the thing. That it shows clearly that they're not saved at all. And it's as the Apostle Peter said there in his epistle, he said that the dog returns to the vomit, and that's exactly what's happening. They were never sheep. They've always been goats that have been posing as sheep.
Yeah. Yeah, really, because you would think that you're in a prison cell. What else do you have to do except study the word of God? So you study the word of God, you repent because you don't want to go back there. You don't ever want to go back there. You don't want to go back to the pig pen. After you get saved and Jesus becomes the Lord of your life, you have your ups and downs, but you say to yourself, I'm not going back to the slop. I'm not going back there. I remember what it was like to be in the world, and I'm not going back there. I don't care how hard it gets to be a Christian or what we have to go through. I'm definitely not leaving Jesus to go back to the pig pen. That's for sure.
Exactly. I was in, I know exactly what you're talking about because I was in prison at one time back in my teens.
Yeah.
I got sent to prison and it was there. Thankfully, I'm thankful that I did make it to prison because when I was in prison, there was an evangelist and a prison chaplain that witnessed to me twice a week. And it was because of them that I was led to the Lord.
Yeah.
And during the time that I was in there, I did studies in the Word of God. I took correspondence courses, and I learned the Word of God. And I don't know everything. I'm not going to say that I know everything. I'm still learning. But, the fact is when I got out of prison, I didn't want to do anything to get thrown back in there. And there have been ups and downs. There's been times when I've been angry with people, but I'd never bring myself to the point where I would do anything that caused myself to be put back in prison.
Yeah. That's it. No. But some people never learn. I mean, they just never learn. It's a shame. But anyway, we're going to listen to one last clip here.
They knew that three times a year they were to bring an offering before the Lord. If they did it, then God would open the window of heaven. There's a certain blessing that's released on Passover. There's a certain blessing that's released on Pentecost, Shavuot. And there's a different set of blessings that's released on Feast of Tabernacles. These three blessings bring us 30, 60.
No, we already heard that one, but... Anyway, it's an education, and we just hope that as we just keep doing more and more programs and more teaching, that people will get the message and they'll tell their friends and their relatives and their brothers and sisters and whatever. And
Amen.
We could put a little dent, you know, into the devil's kingdom, because it's truly a tragedy what's happened. Really, what is mainly the visible church, which is not really the church, but it's the church that most people see.
Right.
Because they can't see my program. They can hear me, but they can't see me. I'm not available. This program is available to a wide audience. We don't get millions. We get thousands of people listening, but we don't get millions. Whereas when you're on television, you're visible. And so they get a bigger audience. And that's the Jesus that's being portrayed to people. And that's the real sad thing. That's the real sad thing.
And the bigger audience does not portray the true Christ. I mean, that's obvious when we read verses like Matthew 7:13-14 or 14 and 15, where it speaks of wide is the way that leads to destruction. It's a narrow path that leads to life, and certainly these churches, they seem to be growing more and more because people are being entertained rather than being convicted.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But, you know, thank God for now. I mean, who knows how long it's going to last, that we have internet radio and we can use it as a teaching center.
Amen.
To teach the word of God and to help people to undo the damage that's been done to them, because many people suffer terribly from financial problems, and they get into more financial problems because of these hucksters out there and these scam artists, and they can dig themselves in pretty deep. And then they get angry at God because, why, God, I did all the things they told me to do and it's not working. And why isn't it working? And hopefully you eventually wake up like I did. I woke up and I said, yeah, I know why it's not working, because it's not God's word. And God didn't want me to do those things that I was doing. He didn't want me to sow seeds to get things and tithe just because I was afraid of God, that God would curse me if I didn't do
it.
And I didn't want to do anything that was going to stop me from God blessing me. But when I found
the thing is, if you're going to submit to any part of the word, or any part of the law, I should say, as Larry Hook is trying to get people to submit to, and he's trying to get them to submit to the feast and to the first fruits offerings and such, and tithes. But if you're going to submit to any of it, you've got to submit to all of it. Paul says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10 that if you don't continue in all things written in the law to do them, you're cursed. And so, you know, if you're gonna submit yourself to the three feasts, then you better have yourself seven lambs that are without blemish, and you better have yourself a bullock, and you better have yourself an altar to offer them things on. And, you know, it's just so much more. You better stone your innocent children. I mean, not innocent, but your rebellious children. You better not be wearing clothes that have more than two garments and two threads in the weave. So there's so many different things that the law required. And if you're going to submit to one, you have to submit to all. It's a total package deal. And when you submit to one, what you're doing is you're turning your back on grace and you're turning your back on Christ. And so we have to stand on the word of God and say, God, we've got to go by your strength, not ours. We've got to go by your righteousness, not ours, because ours is filthy before you.
Yes, it is. It is. And in the book of Hebrews, God says he writes his law on our hearts because they couldn't keep the law. No, they couldn't keep it. There was no way they could keep all those laws. But when we're born again, God writes his law on our heart, and we know we're supposed to know right from wrong. And sometimes it takes a little while before you get the message. But thankfully, hopefully that people will get the message and realize that they're being duped, and they can really understand what real Christianity is. But anyway, Ron, thanks so much for coming on. I appreciate it very much. Thanks for coming. You're always welcome. And tell the people about your books.
Thanks for having me on, and it's been a blessing, as always. My book, I think the one that I like to promote the most right now is the last one that I wrote, The Biblical Tithe, Cash or Crops. And that can be found on barnesandnoble.com or on amazon.com. And it walks people through what the Bible says concerning God's holy tithe and who was required to give it, who they were required to give it to, and where they were required to give it. So I encourage people, if you want to learn a little bit about the tithe, just go on those two sites, barnesandnoble.com and amazon.com, and do a search for Ronald Robey, R-O-B-E-Y.
Okay. All right, everybody, and they could catch you on Facebook. I know they had some kind of a security breach on Facebook, so they're telling everybody to change their passwords. So, anyway.
They told Linda not to worry about changing her password, so I think there's different messages going across. But if you want to feel safe, I would go ahead and change the passwords on Facebook.
Yeah. All right, then. So God bless. Talk to you soon.
God bless.
All right, everybody. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in today. And we're going to be on next week. We're going to have a great program again next week with Bill Randles, and he's a pastor. And he's got a great book, Beware the False Prophets. And he also wrote a good book about the Toronto so-called blessing, Weighed and Found Wanting. Oh, excellent books. And so tune in next week. And we're going to try to have our programs back live every Saturday at 1 p.m. And then our program is played again on Rapture Ready Radio on Thursday evening. And then, of course, we have our YouTube channel, Susan Puzio, and my book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. And that's also available on the online bookshops. So it's a good book for your friends that are messed up and they want a little history, because I do go into the history of some of the false teachers. So it'll help them come out from the dark and into the light. Amen. And the most important thing today is, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, give your life to Jesus today. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus said in the third chapter of John that ye must be born again. First, you're born of your mother. And then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Romans 10:10 says, confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. You have to repent of your sins. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God sent us a Savior. That's why we have a Savior, to save us from our sins, to save us from hell, and to give us a brand new life of peace, joy. Where can you buy? You can't buy peace. You can only get it from the Prince of Peace. You can only get it from the Prince of Peace. God bless you.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven. Be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Set on a hill, its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. I'm I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.